It's time for the Second Funniest Podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. This is episode 459. I am your host, Justin Wersch. Thank you. With me, as always, is the Trey in all of our play, the flow in all of our even, the work in all of our stations, the swing in all of our swings, the play in all of our packing, the one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Well, you're...
Oh.
You... And some of these don't work.
Yeah. By some, I think you're mispronouncing most.
Excuse me. Thank you. I think I was doing it wrong. Thank you. Well,
thank you. Thank
I got to be going.
Oh, poor Kevin.
But before I go, I'll tell you a joke. You're welcome. Okay, see you later.
How come only have one guy in your crowd?
I'm sorry, can't hear you.
Kevin, get off the phone.
Bye. Gotta go. Gotta leave you.
Oh, feller drove over a stick. Oh, he broke a glass.
That one's got a lot of bass. There's some sound to that one.
How many episodes have we done devoted to soundboards?
All of them. Most episodes.
Most failures.
Have some sort
While you're soundboarding, I will correct an injustice. I was combing through our email box, and I did do something wrong. I talked about how somebody had suggested that we contact GameStop employees and interview them.
Yeah.
And we could not forget their name. They were very happy, I found out from their email. That we had taken their idea, but they were very unhappy that we did not remember their name. So I don't know if this makes up for it, but I have since read that email and also forgotten their name again. Because when I say their name, that's what it reminds me of. Nails on a chalkboard. And a baby crying. Oh, that's right. A crybaby.
Oh.
Jason Campbell, everybody. Jason Campbell.
Yay.
That's right, Jason Campbell. Thank you for your idea. We just flushed it down the toilet. We're making your workday go by faster. That's what we do for Jason Campbell. No, thanks. In all honesty, thank you for your idea, Jason. Take that. Take that. And good night. Good luck and good night to all of you. So what do and take that punch, you jerk. Yeah, back there. In the gut, in the stomach, working the body, working the body.
Yeah, so I have a great story for you.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I need to turn this off. Okay, so we have a friend. His name is Mick Wingert.
We do?
Yeah, and he is the voice of Poe on Nickelodeon.
And a guest on this show.
That's right. And DreamWorks. Legends of Kung Fu Panda.
Also available on the Dreamcast.
Kung Fu Panda, Legends of Awesomeness. But I know him.
Legends of Awesomeness.
Sweet. Yeah. That theme song gets stuck in my head every time I hear it. It's pretty great. You know, he sang all that. That's all him. That's not Jack Black. You know, it's so funny. For as much as I enjoy that theme song, I have yet to ask him to sing it for me.
Do you think he would?
Yes.
That's a little jacked up, though.
No, if I said, bro, can I get a video of you doing this so I can just hear it whenever I want? He'd be like, okay. Maybe, in the right circumstances. So anyway, he goes to a church called Soma out here, and
I thought he went to your church.
No, he moved churches when he got married. Oh. They found a church that has...
Oh, your church is only for singles?
No, we have a healthy, thriving young community, but they moved. They were out in Pasadena.
He got tired of that Joseph Barkley jackass?
Yes. With his, oddly enough...
Hold on. Go ahead. With his preachy sermons.
Just so we're all clear, I work at this church, Ecclesia, churchinhollywood.com.
With this bald son of a bitch.
There is talk of all the staff members.
I can lay it on even thicker because he doesn't listen anymore.
Not anymore. He stopped when it was gaming. I asked him to listen to your other show, the Dads Are More Fun or the Dad Podcast, yeah. And I don't think he's doing it. No. But I...
I'll start cursing him out on that show, too.
There's talk of everyone on staff needing to sign a social network clause like to stay... pure in the internet to be able to represent the church and to make sure that we're living upstanding lives. And I thought, oh, I wonder if any of them are going to listen to this show. Not because I feel like I have at any moment in time betrayed my creator or betrayed Christ or my church.
Nope.
I
have.
Yeah. He says, with this white Russian. There's literally a white Russian in his hand. But I do feel like if somebody listened to it, the wrong, I don't know, all of our people in the elders and the directors of the church are pretty laid back. Normal people.
Sticks in the butt.
Most of them are industry types.
Couldn't fit a grease BB up there.
But I feel like I'd have to do some explaining. I feel no matter what, I'd have to kind of explain what I'm doing here. Anyway, the bottom line is I want you all to believe in Christ. There. I said it.
Mission accomplished.
Done.
Time for me to parachute in on an aircraft carrier.
So one of the things that this other church does is they have these missional groups in different communities.
Have fun.
And they do, and they have fun.
Not get preachy about podcasts.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, I think they do that too. But you're gonna love this. In fact, I want you to do it. No. It's okay. I think you and I should do this sometime. Over by the airport, like down. What is
Skid
that street?
Row.
Victory that you go down
to Burbank Airport.
Yeah, just if you keep driving by
Hollywood
the train,
Way.
Is that Hollywood Way? If you keep going down it for a little while, you kind of
cross over, go right in front of the airport.
Yeah, and you go down
Hollywood
like
Way.
You start to get into like Sunland. Over there, they have a campus. It's called the Building, and it's their church because the church. Huh? Right?
Uh-huh.
Is
yeah.
The people, not the building.
Nope.
No, it's not true.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, no. The building, the people are the church. The
right.
Building
that's
is
what
the
I'm
building.
Saying.
Yeah. So their church is called the building.
Building.
The building.
It's not the church.
But on Friday nights.
I've heard that the people are the church, not
right.
The building.
And we are
which
the
is
people.
Why it would be clever to call a church just the building.
That's what it is.
Oh.
That's what I just described to you.
Oh, my gosh. I think I'm stuck in some kind of loop of nonsense.
So they call it the building.
Is it just
called church nonsense? I am getting to a point. So on Friday nights.
Screw you, Barkley.
On Friday nights, they do gamer nights where they open up the church doors and they have one room.
I should
room.
Not have been slowing you down.
I know. So it was actually relevant. They open up one room. One of the rooms is all games. So they do Rock Band or whatever. They'll do StarCraft. They'll play whatever. Or they'll put on like
Diablo.
The StarCraft. Diablo. They'll put on the StarCraft
really?
Finals in Korea, whatever. And then in the main, whatever they want. So there's like a video game room. Then there are people on the iPads and the Vitas. And then the main room is every board game ever. And then upstairs are the hardcore D&D guys. Like
what?
The guys that are actually like in it to win it for hours and hours and hours.
Wow.
So, but the thing is, so Mick and I came in. I look in the video game room and there wasn't much going on. There was a couple, I think that's kind of more of like the babysitter room for some of the 10-year-old guys. Like they all kind of hang out in there. And we took a quick tour. We looked in the D&D room, and they all like when we walked by. So we didn't go into that room. But then we walked back downstairs and into the main lobby. It's a pretty big room small for a church, but a large room with several tables set up and a stack of games. Just a 6 foot. Like this table here, size fold out table, just loaded with games, and I'm pretty familiar with board games, like with the geeky fringe games that are out there.
Othello, is that geeky fringe?
No.
What about that one that used to? It was just this big, and it was like it had all the pegs that you're supposed to move. Clue Master, or
no,
like that.
Those
Game
are
Master.
Like those are all Milton Bradley's, but games like. Cosmic Encounters or Settlers of Catan, Carcassonne.
Oh, Settlers of Catan.
Yeah,
okay.
Like that kind of, like I'm familiar
I
with those
I played that
games.
With a friend of mine.
Bonanza. Yeah. See.
Are you talking about the TV show with the fat man and a big
talking
hat?
About the bean training game. So I walk in with Mick and I'm like, and a lot of people are already in games. We kind of came late. So I was like, well, let's just go look at the game, see if there's a game we can get started. I look at this table. I knew none of them. Everything. It might as well have been written in another language. I was just like, I do not.
Know any of them?
No. Oh, he's even further out than I am. Like, Granted, I don't play a ton of them, but my brother used to work in a hobby store that sold these games. We talk about them all the time. I've been exposed to people that know a lot of them, but this was like some next generation, some next tier stuff of outside my understanding of how game mechanics can work at all. So thankfully, we get somebody to play a game with us to tell us how to play one of these games.
I wanted to play out. Like, hey, can we? Oh, are you guys new? You guys new the night?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have Monopoly or any of that kind of stuff, unfortunately. Yeah. We've been doing this for quite a long time, and it's just we've lost interest. So what we did was we found a back door in an adult film store where they just had these games. And so we bought them all, and after we saved all the people inside the adult film store. And so now they're here. So why don't you go ahead and pick one up, and then you pick one up and go, no, that just holds the napkins. Pick a real game.
You have such a different version of reality.
It's fun.
We should swap brains for a little while sometime. I'd really like to see what's living up there. I think you'll be impressed with what I've got going on.
I already am.
Likewise,
Super
I'm sure.
Super Pups. Already on board with that. Toy pageants. I don't think of that when I watch Toddlers and Tiaras. Every time I watch Toddlers and Tiaras, I think of your Christmas toy pageants.
Your son is going to grow. You know your son is a lot like me in many different ways.
My son is more like me.
No, he is very much like you. But he's got a lot of me in him. That he is incredibly geeky. He is really a fanboy. He is more of a fanboy than you are.
No.
All right.
Than I am.
Oh.
You see, than I am. What you don't understand is you're taking like geeky because he's growing up also when geek culture is at its most popular.
That's
right?
True.
But I'm learning through a lot of therapy, to be quite honest.
Go
that
on.
My son is almost identical to who I was as a child. Almost
unabused.
Identical. Huh?
Unabused.
I was not abused.
Undamaged by a divorce. Unwounded by a hysterically rude father.
My father, how dare you?
Sometimes I just throw peanuts out to see if the elephant will eat them.
How dare you?
He's stampeding! That was fun.
talk more about your games nobody's ever heard of.
I'll talk more about my Joseph Barkley.
I will turn you off.
I just randomly pick up the only game on the table that I could actually read the words, and it was a game.
Oh, literally, was that foreign?
No, I knew that they were words, but there was nothing in context of them, like, you know, Critter Crash. No, that would be more relevant. It would be like Crater Maid. I don't know how to
Banana Mate.
Yeah, nothing exactly. Like. So I look at this one, and it's called Seven Wonders.
Smoothie Solid.
Yeah. That's what it was like. But they had like Smoothie Solid Robot Galactic version 2. That's what I'd be looking at. Like, I don't have a clue what that means. So there's one game sitting on there that says Seven Wonders. I was like, and there's a picture of like Colossus of Rhodes. I said, okay, I grabbed
that
one.
We've added one since then.
Yeah, there's 8-1. They did, actually. So they're like, oh, actually, that's a great game. I'd love to play that with you. Let's go. We'll explain it to you. So Mick and I sit down with one of the hosts. And he's like, and he opens up the box and he begins to explain. He's like,
is this the game night you tried to invite me to?
Yeah, okay, the other night. Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay, great. And another guy, one of the regulars comes over. He's like, oh, you're playing Seven Wonders? Sweet, I'm in. And walks away. That's when I should have known that we were in for trouble, because he knew that we were both new, and it was going to take at least a quarter of an hour to explain how to play this game.
What?
And I'm not kidding. Like, you know me. Justin and I, for those of you listening to this podcast, are pretty.
For the rest of you,
yeah. Not anybody not in this room. We're gamey people. Like we get games. I understand them. It doesn't take me much to be like, got it. That's the goal.
Yeah.
And I could take layers and levels, and I'm very patient when listening because I want to know how to play the game. This did not stop, and I thought there were a couple moments where I'm like, oh, he's just repeating himself, and he wasn't. He was explaining the difference between one set of rules and another set of rules to. Then later explain another set of rules. In short, and then he's like, oh, and since you guys are new, you're going to be on the new people, we're going to play the expansion as well. So that took another 5 minutes.
It makes no sense. So since you guys have totally never seen this or anything, what we're going to do is we're going to crank the difficulty up by
to the next level. Yeah. So, but I
appreciated
it.
Otherwise, we shouldn't be talking right now.
Because the truth is, like, for those of us who play games with expansions, you're like, oh, we're not playing with the expansion? Oh, all right. Well, the expansion does help. So essentially in the game, I mean, to explain the complexity of it, there are There are seven wonders, eight if you play the expansion. Each of them has their own way to succeed, their own way to relate to all the other players. And then there are seven different types of cards within the game.
Wow.
And four different economies that happen within the game, and 10 different types of resources. I mean, it was like going to school for 20 minutes to learn this engineering thing. But it's called a drafting game. You ever heard of these kind of game mechanics?
No.
The payoff of having to sit through 20 minutes of learning this game was that once we started playing, we never stopped. It was constant. You're always doing something. Because what happens is I get a deck of...
So it's not like a turn.
No, we're all taking turns simultaneously.
Yeah.
So I have a hand... The way it breaks down eventually is we all have a wonder of the world. You could be the pyramids of Egypt, Giza, and I'll be the Colossus of Rhodes. And then there are six other wonders, five other wonders. And we all have different ways, different things that we're trying to do. And there are different ways
to
win.
Is there a tourism board involved? Like,
a what? Yeah, close. So then there are three decks of cards with seven different types of cards within each of the three decks. And the first round, we each are dealt seven cards within it. I look inside the seven cards, pick one I want to play, and then we all decide, we all have our card. You know what card you want to play. You put it into play. Then we take the deck, your hand, and pass it to the person next to you. So you know what the person next to you is getting. The person next to you knows what you're getting. And then you look through, pick a card to play. When all five or seven of those cards end, after going around the table from that one hand, that's the end of that era. And you go into the next era of the game. So the types of cards change depending on what era. If it's early in the game or late in the game, like the complexity of your city will increase. So then there are wars that happen throughout the game. Then there are developments that you can do, different buildings you can build. You buy and sell things with your neighbors. It was the most fun I'd ever
really?
Had. It was so
not
great.
Not how I thought that story was going to go.
Asked my wife for the next 48 hours. I called every game and hobby shop in the Los Angeles area trying to find a copy of it because I wanted to play it again that
bad.
On
Amazon right now.
And it's not too expensive on Amazon. There's one place. Do you know there's a game and hobby shop on Cahuenga down at the end of the down in Studio City? Knights something?
Knights of Emerald Knights.
Yes, that's it.
It's not in Studio City. It's closer to you than you think.
Oh, okay. The Google Maps said Studio City. But it's like this game on Amazon, I think, is $30 right now. I call over there. I'm like, hey, do you have Seven Wonders? After calling a dozen other stores in the area and them going, I think I called your Gizmos. Isn't that the shop you go to that does RC cars?
No.
I called them and I said, I was calling to see, because I learned that not all hobby shops have board games. So yes. I said, so I'm calling to see if you guys have board games and stuff. And she goes, actually, no, we only do remote controlled. And I did not know what else to say except for, oh, good luck. And I hang up and I really am like,
wow.
I'm a dick. But that's not what I meant.
You meant
it was more like,
good luck to you.
Like that, yeah, well, I meant like, you should tell me good luck. And also, how does a business stay open selling only a remote control cars?
They do just fine.
Just fine, yeah. Clearly. I was shocked.
It's expensive, too.
The intention behind the words good luck were more like, that's very impressive that you can have a store open that is exclusively selling remote control things. That's impressive. Good job. What came out was good luck. So when I called this place, I was like, yeah, I'm looking for Seven Wonders. She's like, yeah, we got it in the expansion. Hold on. I'll make sure it's on the shelves. Yeah, we got it. It's here. I'm like, oh, great. What are you selling that for? It's $30 on Amazon. The game is $50. The expansion is $25. Like, okay, thanks. Click. So
good
Amazon. Much better. they're there most Friday nights. If it wasn't for the Guild Wars that's happening in the past of this episode, I say we should go because I think you should sit down and play this game.
Okay.
It was freaking phenomenal.
Did you buy it on Amazon?
No, I haven't gotten it yet. Because then the other thing, I told Kat about it. My wife, and she was like, well, I told her, I said, it's so complicated, but I think once you got into it, you'd like it. And I explained like the trading and the expansions and all that. And it's essentially buying and selling and trying to strategize. And no, but there's like eight different ways that you can earn points throughout it. And the person with the most points at the end wins. So it's you can be trying to do one thing and I can be trying to do another thing. We could either work together. And it's a race at the end of like, oh, you got more points. You win. Yay.
Victory is mine.
So she seemed into that idea. But the game was really really fun because we had a full table. And I thought, no matter what I did, if I bought the game, it's just going to sit on my shelf right now. Yeah. And I'm not going to have the seven, all seven wonders playing at the same time to make it pretty cool. And so I've decided for now, I'm just going to keep coming back to that gamer night and playing with those extremely geeky guys.
Did you win?
I did not, but Mick won the second game. Oh, second really? Time in. He beat the whole game. It really comes down to who your neighbor is and what card you dealt, just like most games. But he had a strategy, and it worked out for him.
That's cool. That sounds like fun.
Seven
Victory
Wonders.
Points. That's what I'm reading. I just found it on Wikipedia. Seven Wonders is a board game created by Antoine Bauza in 2010 and published by Repos Production in English and by in Greek. That won the prestigious Kennerspiel das Jahres in 2011.
Yeah, Germans love these geeky board games.
Just it also won the 2011 Deutsche Spielepreis Preis.
I keep forgetting that Phil is he's probably going, no.
Deutsche Spielepreis!
Who's Phil? What?
Isn't it? I think his name is Phil. He used to be my boyfriend. He's Philip.
What are we talking about?
He's our German listener. And he also played Uncharted with us. I can't remember his gamer tag name, but I could have swore his name was Philip, but I don't know. I know it's not Jason Campbell, because he gave us the idea that, well, never mind. That didn't work out on my thing. What else did they say here? Oh, you're drafting mechanic. You're right. Now I'm validating. This needs to move on.
So you in? We'll play it? That's great.
Yeah, I'll play it. I'll play it. Why can't you get two people to play multiple hands so then you have all seven wonders playing?
Oh, I think it'd be hard. It would hurt your brain a little. But not impossible. It's also really fun just to have that many people playing at once.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I said,
it's more social.
Yeah, exactly. It's very social. And like I said, it just moves. Once you play, you never stop, and it's very satisfying. And each of them have like their own kind of core structure to them. So like Pyramids of Giza, which you got dealt earlier, and you have this big board that's almost the size of an iPad. That's how you know what you're working off of. So they're all about victory points. So everything you do, every tier you try to establish more victory points. And the second time I played, I think I was Colossus of Rhodes I was Hallam of Camassus, the House of the Dead. And you don't know your seven wonders of the world.
I do not.
And my points were all about getting resources to buy more things. So by the end of the first round, I had every resource I needed access to every round. So I could build almost anything in my hand because I had all this money, these resources, but the downside was, so did my neighbors! Ah! Seven wonders!
Everybody has money!
So bad. So, we're gonna play that. I have other things. Do you want to read an email?
I can.
Whatever you want. I've talked. You talk.
No, what?
No, you go.
No, what?
Okay, here's the thing. Earlier in this, I can't remember how many episodes ago, but I recounted the story of my father buying a PlayStation 2 after selling my Atari 2600.
Yes.
It was very sad. Go back and listen to episode 457. Yes?
Yes.
456. So it got me thinking about when they stop publishing a game for a console, much like Nintendo Power and how we were talking about earlier. Like, what is the last thing they do? Guess what? Wikipedia has an entry just for this.
Really?
A list of the last games released on video game consoles. Wikipedia entry. And they have it broken down by North America, Europe, Japan, and Brazil.
Yeah, because we talked about it even before, a long time ago, when we were talking about when the new consoles start to come out.
Yeah.
And when was that new generation going to happen? And it's like, how do you be that last game?
Right.
That nobody wants to buy. You're like, I kind of got stuck in there. Like, I almost feel like it's because the development got pushed back, that you just kind of naturally get selected to be that person.
Right.
And so it's like, well, we made it already. It would be more expensive for us to go back and reprogram it for the new console.
Because you've been developing.
Might as well release it here and hope to, cut our losses.
To your point, in the more modern era, for the PlayStation 1, the last game to be released for them was FIFA Football 2005, which came on October 12th. 2004.
The wrestling games also right. keep doing that.
Because that would make sense. Same thing with the Nintendo GameCube. The last game to come out was NFL Madden 2008. Mm-hmm. On the Xbox One, the last game to come out was NFL 2009. So that makes sense because the game exists.
Yep.
And no doubt, they released it on both platforms at the
it's
same time.
It's just a matter of the cross-platform anyway. Yeah. Like all the looks, the graphics can be the same. They just step
it's just
it down.
The mechanics or whatever. So those make sense. But here's the crazy... So that's more like modern era. So there, but on the two spectrums, the thing that's fascinating is the oldest game to be released on a notable console that Wikipedia decides is notable is the Atari 5200 released Gremlins in 1986. The Atari 2600 last released game was a game called Klax in 1990.
What?
1990 was the last, according to Wikipedia.
Now, I want
to
say the 2600 was out of date by, like, mid-80s.
But 1986 was the last game released on its predecessor. So 4 years later, they're still making Atari 2600 games.
Wow.
I don't know how many. That might have been, like, a...
Not predecessor.
Yeah.
Successor, because you say the 5200.
I'm sorry, you're right. I said the wrong
one. The last game was made
Their successor stopped publishing games 4 years earlier. Now, Klax may have been like a throwback. Maybe that was kind of a joke. Nonetheless, in 1990, you could get your hands on a new Atari 2600 game.
I want to know
while
how
you and I were getting ready to play some Super Mario World, somebody's like, sweet, Klax is in!
Yeah, and I wish I could go. That's one of those things that I wish we were Bill and Ted on an Excellent Adventure, or even a Bogus Journey, which is what it would really be in the case of Klax. But I would want to go back and just see, like, how is it doing? Like, what's going on?
Who made that decision?
Hey, guys, at Klax Makers, how you feeling? You doing all right?
We need 4 more years.
Got it.
Reagan has to finish his administration before we can get this out.
You do know the 5200 is out and dying.
Yeah, but this game is going to be... This is going to bring Atari back on the map.
Really?
Classics never die, bro!
We're already porting our games.
Okay,
over
see you
Nintendo.
Later! Yeah, it's crazy because the entire library of the 2600 now fits on the controller. That's incredible to me.
You think some grandfather who sees his kid like buying a $2 version of his entire catalog with Klax on there is like, look at what I found. Grandma's $2.
Hey, where's your Atari? Where's the Atari? Where's that at?
We just got the controller. We actually got it. It was a regift from another garage sale. It's $2, sir. I'll take $1.25 for it. No, I don't want you to go down on the price. I lost my butt on that.
Yeah, what did the Atari 2600 retail as? Like $200?
When it was sold, like originally? Yeah. I don't know.
I can click on Wikipedia here, and it can tell me right now.
Let's play a game. Let's play a guessing game while it's loading.
I'm going to guess
say
$250.
It came out in the late 70s?
Yeah.
I'm going to say $100.
Yeah, I'm going to say $250.
Are we going to do Price is Right rules?
Sure.
$249.
Oh, originally priced $199.
Oh,
what was your final answer?
I was $100.
Yeah,
I said 100, so you won because you won, or you lost.
I went
over.
Yeah, 199 makes sense. That is crazy. So the reason why I got onto that at all is because, as I mentioned earlier, my dad got this PS2.
Yes,
and I was like, okay, good job. They're still releasing games for the PS2.
What?
PlayStation 2 is not on the list of last game to be published. They are still releasing games. Now, I tried to do some research on it, and from what I can see, the last new title released for the PlayStation 2 was in 2008. Like, that's the last game that was developed for the PlayStation 2 and released in hard copy. You and I have no way of verifying this, but from what I can gather is happening is you can plug your PlayStation 2 into the internet and download games via the PSN. Because you can go to Amazon right now and type in Red Faction 2, for mm-hmm. example, and it will be available for download on the PS2. So, and
so
was,
I could plug it in via USB drive, even?
No, maybe, but I know that the, I have a, an external peripheral for my
PS2. No, the PS2 didn't have the USB, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. My external peripheral for the PS2 was to create a, to make it internet savvy. I don't believe it was DSL. I'm pretty sure it was a telephone cord. And it,
no, it was an Ethernet.
Was it Ethernet? So,
because I played on PS2, I played SOCOM.
Yeah.
And it used to, there used to be a thing that you'd have to attach, and then when they made the tiny, remember how they made the tiny version of PS2? Yeah. And that's what I had, and it was like, it was almost the size of a book.
Oh, wow.
And it just had an Ethernet cable, and I would play SOCOM.
The one I have is a port that you attach two giant bolts to the back of it to block it in.
The big version, yeah, that's what you had to do.
And that has the Ethernet port, like, dead center in the middle of it. So I believe you hook that up, you go through the system preferences, and you'll be able to download older games on an old platform.
But not new games, right?
Well, how would you be able to get a new game on there? Like, who's developing a new game for that low a res and that low of polygon counts and all that stuff?
It's all, but what I'm saying, I wonder if it would be aware. Like, say I tried to download the Madden NFL 2013 demo.
No, it won't be able to do that. That would be incompatible.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the OS would be.
But I'm wondering
wrong.
If it would even know. Like, you know how I just. What I'm maybe I don't give it enough credit, but I just feel like the portals to the stores and the networks are kind of dumb.
No, I'm pretty sure that they're smart in this way of it going, oh, you're. Because on my PS Vita, I can't see anything else. On my PS 3, I can see everything that's available in the store, but on the Vita, I can't.
So one would imagine that on the PS, there's a PS2 PlayStation Network
corner, like some
server.
Back dark corner of the store with like a shrouded cloth, and you know a broken.
It's like playing Left 4 Dead right now,
exactly.
Because I did that. Did I tell you this? Because you bought it for me of my for my birthday a while ago. So I played it for a while. And
were
I
your
was
children
like,
in the room?
No. And I was like, why? I can't remember why this game got so much hype. Like it's fun. I get that zombies
and you
are popular.
The hooker and took her money.
Yeah. Then I was like, bingo. No, I was like, I go, why? I can't remember. And then I went, oh, it's because there's supposed to be three other people online that could just join into your game.
Oh, neat.
They'll come in and they'll play. Like if you have, if it finds that somebody else is playing the same level, then you'll be playing with four other real people at the same time.
It's just
time.
Like Journey on the PSN.
So it's a co-op. That's what made it. That was like
but
one
it's
of the
an
first
accidental
co-op. Games.
Co-op. Yes. I see. Yeah. That's neat.
And so that was part. That part was cool. But the problem is that nobody's playing Left 4 Dead right now. So Daddy was playing by himself, and for sure nobody's playing level 1 and level 2 of Left 4 Dead. I'm sure there are better levels in some way, shape, or form.
So did you return it and buy Lost Planet 3?
No, I think I still have it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Glad I got that for you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You are welcome.
Also, On Live is dying, but we talked about that on Facebook. So.
On Live is dying? What do you mean?
On Live, the streaming cloud gaming console and online Steam system called On Live. Yeah, probably going to go away. Here's why. Buffering a game sucks.
Yeah.
I've tried it, and it like starts out pretty high. It does the opposite of Netflix, right? When you first start a Netflix instant queue or whatever,
a little grainy
it's really fuzzy. A minute in, crystal, HD. The opposite happens on Live. The moment you have signal degradation, it comes down by the end of it. Like Left 4 Dead or any game that you're playing, Just Cause, is like it's like playing an Atari game. You're like, I think that's me, or maybe it's a refrigerator. And then suddenly the MTV song is playing. That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and the chicks for free. Oh, gotta restart the server.
I want my online to die. Give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Please continue spreading the word. For the love of God, if you would spread it like butter. Dang it. Don't let it all clump up. It's like, I mean, sure, when you put some jelly on it with a little bit of butter, delicious.
Delicious.
But what we really want in our toast is we want saturated bread.
Mm,
we want to get that lipid in there in that bread and mix it in with the carbohydrate and make it even yummier. So please do that by going to secondfunniestpodcast.com, clicking on the email, your favorite episode right underneath that episode, or you can share it on Facebook, or like we have said many, many times before, right there on the Facebook page, facebook.com/secondfunniestpodcast. You can take an episode, share it with your friends on their walls, your walls, everybody's walls. We're all walls for ice cream.
Justin, what if I have MySpace?
If you have MySpace, this is going to be worth it, I think.
Hold on.
Should I start playing Sound Shapes?
Nope. If you have MySpace, yourself. And on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Warsham saying,
okay, bye.